You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter day by day. Yes, it does.
Hallelujah. Wow. 190 nations, here we come. Wow. We will make a better place like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, we are just beginning. And let me tell you, if you have not called a friend, call a friend. This is the time to do that. Call someone to join. Grab your communion. Grab your notebook so you can take notes, okay? Because we are just getting into the powerfulness, okay? Amen. So we have another song ministration coming up from our very own, our very, very own, amen, Sister Ariel. Amen. We're about to be blessed. Blessings are about to come down from above. So put your hands together. Hallelujah. For our very own Sister Ariel. Amen.
Oh, how great that day will be when Jesus shall appear. All the world see him in the skies. We shall have the bodies that know no sin or death. We shall be like Christ, the Lord of life. If you want to get there, turn now from your sins. When you're washed, you can be among God's chosen ones. You can be in the new Jerusalem. All the world, its mansions, and wealth shall be no more. There shall be confusion in the world. Many are the people who will regret that day, but will be saved with Christ the Lord of life. Shall see precious stones. We'll walk on streets of gold. We shall see the glory of the Lord. We shall see God's people like Paul and Moses do. And we shall sing his praise forevermore. To get there, turn now from your sins. When you're washed, you can be among God's chosen ones. You can be in the new Jerusalem. If you wanna go there, if you want.
New Jerusalem. We shall be, amen, by the grace of God. We are here, hallelujah. You are here, but are your friends here? Are your family, are they here? Please invite someone to come and enjoy. We have a powerful service, I'm telling you. And today, especially the service, we have a little extended service because we have so many great things that are waiting for you today to come, amen? But you are here now, and we are ready for the most powerful part of the service. As we get ready, this is what we waited for. Your impartation, are you ready for your impartation from God to come? Amen? Hey, the word says, look, he has spoken by the prophets, and we have a man of God that is anointed, that is going to bring the word of God to each and every one of us. This day, this hour, we are here. Let us be open for the word to come. Amen? That is crafted for you and I today. It's for us. So let us rise to our feet. I want you to scream and shout in your homes. Clap your hands for our very own Reverend Cujo Orleans Lindsay.
Loving and true, those who know your name, put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God, so loving and true. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet.
Amen.
Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name means more to me.
Hallelujah. What a day, International Sunday. Well, we give God the glory that a day like this will be celebrated. I am saying that because this is what God intends for us to be like. A church should be an international gathering. You know, as you can see, my hat, it's from Scotland. My skin is from Africa. My location is from the United States. My tie is from Hong Kong. And my belt is from Italy. I am an international pastor. Put your hands together for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a wave of praise. Amen. So as I'm speaking, I am speaking to a group of people that is well fitting for heaven. Why do I say that? The Bible says in the book of Revelation, you see that? Revelation. You see that in the, you see that in Revelation, there will be a lot of people who are not necessarily going to be your kind, but there will be people we'll need to interact with, and we better get used to it. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, from verse number 9, you see, from verse number 9, or let's read from verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors or fragrance, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for thou was slain and has redeemed us, redeemed us, redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, out of every nation. And you have made us together into to God and to our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on this earth. Heavenly Father, we come before you rehearsing for heaven. I pray that none under the sound of my voice will ever die and go to hell. I pray that by this ministration, you will show us pictures of heaven, pictures of God, pictures of Jesus Christ, pictures of salvation, pictures of our eternal destiny, pictures that make us realize that we are here for a purpose, united in love for the betterment of your kingdom. Lord, we give you glory. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us.
Amen.
To us and to salvation in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's an important thing. It's a very great blessing. I welcome you all to this International Sunday, our first virtual International Sunday. Amen.
Woo!
This is the first time that we are celebrating International Sunday virtually with different people from different countries who are actually tuning in from different countries and dressed in different countries. I see, Caleb, that you are dressed up as a Chinese. Can you show Caleb? You know, see the at the back. That's it. That's it. Beautiful. Beautiful. So we have so many people like that. And we want to thank God that our church is international. Now, our church is in 92 nations out of 190 nations. And then in our, today's celebration, we want to, hitherto we have celebrated the nations that are represented, that Lighthouse is represented in. But today we want to celebrate the nations that we are not represented in. So we went beyond the countries represented in our church. You know, we have about 15 nationalities in our church. But I mean, that is what is that compared to 190 nations? So you see, as we saw Caleb in the Chinese outfit, as you saw me in my multinational outfit, you see that we'll celebrate a lot more countries this time because we believe that the Lord called us to the world, not just to the United States of America or to Africa or to just Asia, but to the world. He said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto all the uttermost parts of the world. We've come far from our Jerusalem to our Judea to our Samarias. Now we want to go to the uttermost parts. So we are reflecting uttermost parts of the world. Now, today, I want to ask you that so, if we are to go into the world, how can we win people? Mm-hmm. How can we affect? How do we spread? God, what did Jesus Christ come here to do? Why are we celebrating this? He said he came to redeem people with different tongues, different languages, different tribes. Mm-hmm. So this is what it's supposed to be. We have to be able to manifest God in a way that different tribes are affected. You see that? Now, many times we preach the word of God to people, but it does not affect them. Why? Why? Why is it so? It is because the you know the preaching of the word must be. Bible says Jesus Christ said John 6:63, the flesh it is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. He says the words that I speak unto you they are spirit and they are life. Now, if I am telling you something that you cannot comprehend, it's not getting across to you. Many people cannot receive our word when we preach, sometimes because we don't demonstrate God. So you are presenting God, but they're asking you, where is God? Where is God? Who is God? What are you presenting? Okay, you're telling me about Christ, but man, show me something better. That's to the unbeliever. Show me something clearer. Today, my question to you is that where is God? Where is God? And how can we present him? Where is God? Amen. Somebody say, where is God?
Where is God?
Okay, it's a good question. Well, let me tell you something. Isaiah chapter 45, you know, verse 15. I don't know whether you've been given something that you say, where is the thing? You were expecting, so you had an expectation, but it was not tangible. You see that? Then you ask, where? You said you brought the thing, where is it? Because you did not identify with it. Mm. Well, God is like that sometimes. In the ways we present, sometimes he's not tangible. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 15, verily thou art a God that hides thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. The Savior is hidden in various tokens. Christians need to understand that so that we can present God properly. All right? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17, the Bible also says over there, and I, God, will wait, and he said, Isaiah said, and I'll wait upon the Lord, the one who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Okay, and I will look for him. So many times we Christians do not know how to present God because we don't know God. You see, because we are dealing with the Lord that has hidden himself in many ways, but we don't know where he's hiding. Therefore, our presentation does not cut it. You have to present God well, where he can be found. You have to show the right face. You have to present to people God properly. Otherwise, what is this? I mean, if I'm presenting you with food and I come with a snake fest, my goodness, you will run away from the food, although it's real food.
Hey,
you know, and I come with a snake fest and I come with an angry face, you would even think I'm poisoning you. So where is God? Okay, so we need to have a lot of faith to see where God is, to see the face of God. So the identity must be clear. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. So we have to present God properly. We have to present God properly. How do we present God? How do we, first of all, make God abundantly available in our midst? Such that when we present, we can present him well. If we do not have God in our midst, we cannot present God to other people who don't know him. If we do not know him, others cannot know him through us. So today, I just want to explain to you how you can make God palpable. You can make God tangible. You can make God touchable to others.
Amen.
How you can make God people feel God the way you feel God. That is, if you feel God.
Wow, hallelujah.
That is, if you feel God. All right, so I'm going to share with you that so that we can see how we can affect people. Now, God hides in various people. God, he hides in various people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so I just want you to understand that this is supposed to give you an ability to present God properly to people, to present God. First of all, God is love. God is love. God is hidden in the shroud called love. You may not know it, but the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7 and 8, he said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Stay here, and I'm coming. In fact, the next one says, "But he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Ladies and gentlemen, what am I saying? I'm trying to say that if you are a Christian and you are going to witness and you don't love, bring that scripture again, verse 7 and 8 together. It said that, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." When you see love, you are seeing something that comes only from God. This kind of love is called the agape love. Not just we have four different types of love. We have the eros or the erotic love. That is a sexual love. Usually when someone says, "I'm in love with you," they are talking about, "I want to have sex with you. I'm in love with you." It means I want to feel you. I want to touch you. It's physical. It's animalistic. It's erotic. Yeah, that's where the word comes from. Eros. Erotic. Erotic love. That's the kind of love that is physical and makes your whole chemistry change. Love has nothing to do with chemistry. Otherwise, we will create it in a chemistry lab and bring it to everybody. Otherwise, we'll sell love as a chemical. So that's not true. That's physical. Animals do it. Snakes do it. Rats do it. I mean, are you a rat? No. So that's physical love. Then we have a second type of love that we call philia. Filial love, that is the brotherly kind of love. That's a love that exists between brothers and sisters. They are in the same house, they share everything. You can call your brother at any time or your sister, and then they will help you. It is that which is born out of family, that which is born out of a relationship where there's no sexual connotation to it, but we are bound together by reason of where we came from. Tribal love, you know. So today, people are there who are driven, who are, you are not Chinese, but you put on the Chinese thing because you want to go beyond just brotherly love. Yeah. You see, so those days, we were meeting together and then we'll celebrate the churches inside. You see, I'm identifying with my brothers. If you are Nigerian, you wear Nigerian clothes. If you are Ghanaian, you wear Ghanaian clothes. If you are American, you wear the blue, red and white. I'm identifying. That is filial, brotherly love. Then we have another kind of love called the storge, O-R-G-E. It's another type of love. And that love is the love of family, parenting.
Okay? Wow.
Love of parenting. That is also called the natural love, natural love. When you have children, you have a natural instinct to protect them.
Yeah.
Not because you normally would have done. Normally, when you see babies, you don't carry them and say, "Kuchu, kuchu, kuchu," and you carry them, "My baby, little girl, don't cry. I love you." And, you know, I didn't know that my wife could do that until she had a baby. I didn't know she could do that.
Oh,
until she had a baby.
Wow.
And suddenly, I could see her breastfeeding. Meanwhile, she had breasts all the time. She had never breastfed anybody until her baby came. That is called natural love. When animals have a baby, they breastfeed. When animals have a baby, they grow wild and protect them. Your protection of your child, providing food, milk, shelter, is not any kind of love. It is as basic as animals. If that baby had gone to another animal, the animal would have still done well. Have you heard of this? Who was it that? Was it?
Tarzan.
Tarzan was raised by an animal.
Hey, a monkey.
A monkey. Your instinct to pay school fees for your child, to make sure the child goes to school, give your child a car and everything, does not make you present God well. The fact that you're a good parent, animals are sometimes even good parents as well. They will never allow you to destroy their child. But when you go beyond your child, beyond your brother, you go beyond your physical feelings and you go to another realm called agape, you are now manifesting God, the God kind of love. Now, when you speak God, people will not just hear you, but they will feel you. They will feel the power that, yes, I don't have you as my baby. You don't come from my tribe. You are not my friend, but I can help you. You are not my child, but I'll pay your school fees. You are not my color, but I'll show you kindness. Immediately, you move to the level
what
of
a love.
Love. That is called the God kind of love.
Wow, what a love. I love this.
Animals cannot do that kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
People who are physically strong and whatever, after watching pornography, cannot give you that kind of love.
Hey.
Parents cannot give you that kind of love. But it takes God in us to give that kind of love. When somebody with that kind of love starts speaking about God, suddenly you are alert. Suddenly you have a feeling that the person has something to offer. Christians must exercise that kind of love because that's the only difference between us and other people. Unbelievers cannot manifest that unconditional type of love. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Now, it is the love that only God gives. Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is now defined as born of God. When you say born again, is the person who has the love of God in him. In fact, this is what this definition is saying. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because love is the only thing, agape is only thing from God alone. There is no other source of agape love. No other. Agape unconditional, I'll do it for you no matter what you do. I will take care of you even though you're not my child. I will help you even though I don't owe it to you. I will do my best because God in me does things like that. Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Bible says that God demonstrated his kind of love. Romans 8:5-8. He demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you, in spite of what your spouse has done against you, in spite of what your parents did or did not do for you, didn't take care, you look him in the eye and say, I'll still take care of you. I will still take care of you. One lady came and told me that my father is making demands on me as if he took care of me. I'm left with my mother and my stepfather for all these years. I've now become prosperous. I am in the United States of America, united with Americans, although I come from, I don't even know, Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. And my father dares to make claims on my life.
I
want to tell my father, you should stop making those claims. I looked the person in the eye. I said, my brother, be careful. If you had to deserve the love that Christ gives, that brings people to heaven, you will never have mattered. But if you will mark our iniquities, man.
Then who
will stand?
Who will stand?
The Bible says that his kindness, I think it's Romans chapter 2 verse 4, is for us to repent. He shows his kindness rather. So we've done something wrong, but he brings his kindness to cause us to repent. Oh, despise thou the riches and the goodness and forbearance and the long suffering. This is the condition. You see, love, it has rich, it's rich in goodness. It's rich in forbearance. Forbearance means and tolerating, you know, accommodating. Keep bringing the scripture. And also long suffering. You suffer long and yet you're kind. Eh? Yeah. No, where has he gone? Romans 2:4, brother. Stop messing me up. Anyway, but he said, not knowing that the goodness of God, all these components, your goodness to people, forbearance, actually of God leads us to repentance. You want somebody to repent, you want somebody to turn towards God. You will have to, your ministration to the person has to have these components. It must be rich in goodness. It must be rich in accommodating and tolerating and having a big heart. It must be full of suffering long, sacrifices for people. Well, sometimes when I look at my church members, I tell them this and then they are doing it. One time somebody asked me, what is the power that you use to guide, be able to tell these people, and they do. But I have no power. The power is love. Love is the most powerful thing. I have learned to love my church members, to be kind to them. Some of you, the things that you can do, but the unconditional love of God keeps me ministering to you, and you come daily to come and find God in my preaching. It's not the words, it's the love, it's the forbearance, it's the goodness, it's that leads you to repentance. Nothing else can change people. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Nothing else can change people but love. Yeah. One time, there was a certain man of God who was so wicked to his wife. His wife was a believer, going for all nights and other things. And then the man said, you know what? I refuse for you to go to any of those all nights. Don't go again.
Merci.
I've told you this story before. But this woman said, I'll serve my God. The man, you know, whenever you are showing kindness, it condemns people who don't show kindness. When people do something wrong to you and then you turn out to do the right thing, it hurts more. That's why the Bible says that, you know, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. Eh? And that if, it's in Romans chapter 12, I think, it's also in Matthew. And that if your enemy asks you for water, give him. If he asks you for food, give him. For by so doing, you pile coals of fire on the person. They can't handle it. When Moses collected people into the ark and said, come, because God is selecting us. Bible said by that he condemned them. Suddenly they realized that there was somebody who was righteous. They thought everybody was unrighteous and they felt bad at it. So let me tell you something. This man was so wicked to his wife. And then the wife was kept at home, not being able to go to church anytime the man is there. Could not serve God, could not pray in tongues, could not play Christian music. One time, the man decided to travel on a company trip. He took his car, drove to the airport, And then that night, there was an all-night prayer meeting on a cold winter night, very chilly. And the wife said, this is my opportunity. I am going to go for this all night, no matter how cold. The wife called a cab, called an Uber, and then went straight to the all night. It was around 9 p.m., and the wife finally came around 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. When he came, he tried to open the door. The door was locked. And he was calling, wow, I have the key. But the door was locked from behind. I have the key. It couldn't open. Then he tried to go around to go and open from the garage. When he went, whose car should be there? The husband's car. The flight was canceled. And immediately he went to church. The husband came back. My goodness. Well, the husband noticed, locked everything on a chilly under zero, icy cold with snow. From 4 a.m., the wife was knocked on the door. The husband pretended to sleep, never opened. And in the morning, around 7:30, the husband opened. The wife was like this, frozen. And then suddenly, the man opened the door. She tried to get up and fail. And she thought that the man would be at least kind enough to say, come inside. The man just banged the door and called it, my dear, I'm sorry. I know why you're angry. But the man walked straight to his car and drove off and told the wife, I told you not to go and you did. I'm not minding you. The man went to the office. The wife managed to break through the door and went inside to get some warmth. 4 hours in the snow, chilly night.
Mercy.
What will you do? So she went inside, got some warm tea, everything. And this wife was in the business of cooking for the husband nice breakfast. That morning, the husband didn't eat breakfast, went to the office. Didn't take any food because normally she packages food. Do you know what this woman did? If you were the one that this man has maltreated you wickedly like this, what would you have done? What would you do?
Hey, it's this a question.
This woman made breakfast big time. At lunch, the favorite of the man, put them in a basket, took an Uber in a cold, chilly, icy, cold road. Went to the office and told the man, my darling, I brought you your food. The man looked at the woman and wondered, are you out of your mind?
All I did.
She thought, all that I did against you, you still cook for me. Not only that, she packed the food down, laid out the breakfast on the table in the man's office. He was a chief executive. And then packed the lunch on the table. She said, my darling, I will come later. If you need anything, let me know. By the way, I brought you some drinks, your favorite. She sat down, fed the man the breakfast, collected the dishes to go, and then laid out the lunch. She was about to go. The man started. Tears.
Oh.
She locked the door.
Oh.
The officer said, repentance. Come. He said, what is wrong with you?
Oh,
God. The man asked the woman in tears, what is wrong with you? Why can't you be normal like us? You make me feel bad all the time. Even when I'm being wicked to you, you have been so good to me. I can't handle it. He started crying. He said, whatever it is that you have, that God that makes you forgiven. I want him. That was the
truth. Right.
He became one of the greatest evangelists of all time.
Wow.
You know him. Greatest evangelist of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because without words, somebody expressed agape. That is God.
Wow.
The Bible says in John chapter 13, verse 33 and verse 34 and verse 35, let's look at it. He said that by this, beloved, it says one commandment. In fact, let's read. It says, command dearly beloved, John chapter 13, verse 34. It says, one commandment I give you, that ye have love one to another. A new commandment I give you, that ye love, A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. The way, love people the way I have loved, the God kind of love, agape.
Amen.
That ye also love one another. Then he goes
on to 35.
By this, not by your tongues, not by your prophecies, not by your long stretches of scriptures,
Merci.
But by this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you have love, one, not for another, to another. Love is a doing thing. You do to people. Mm. When you have love, one to another. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Somebody may never read the Bible, but your life will convey the person.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Because love carries God. God is, true love is only God who gives it. You can't give it when you don't have it, when you don't have God.
Amen.
That is the reason why we tell people, don't marry unbelievers, because you'll be surprised.
Mm.
They can show you filial love. They can show you erotic with the strongest erotism.
Hey.
They can buy flowers. When they feel the feeling that chemicals produce, animals produce.
Mm.
But when it comes to when you strike
at them,
they will show you that they are animals.
Mm.
I'm telling you. That is a kind of love that if somebody is truly born again, they have. Sometimes I wonder, when I've even offended my wife, the way she can treat me, I said, it is only God in you that can make this happen. If I had married somebody else, who is a normal, that the man said, why can't you be normal like us? Normal in the world is not normal in Christ. Normal in Christ is the normalcy of love. If you cannot love unconditionally, you have to question whether you're born again. Yeah. Bible says, when we have love for the brethren, then will we have boldness on the day of judgment. Let's stop throwing scriptures around. Let's stop throwing church. Me, I belong to Lighthouse, Mega. Me, I belong to Anglican, whatever. I'm a Catholic by birth. I'm a this. So what? You think
it's true love.
Catholicism to go to heaven, it takes Judaism or Lighthouseans to go to heaven. You'll be surprised that on the day that Christ comes, some will be left behind. The check will be by this shall all men know. That you are my, I only take my disciples, and they will know by this, if you have love one to another. Ha! I tell you, the Bible calls this thing the bond of perfectness or perfection. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Bible says, above all else, put on charity, or put on the agape God kind of love. Put on charity, which is also called the God kind of love, which is actually the bond of perfectness. The bond, the word is bond. The word is bond. Relate to people, bond to people based on love is a bond, is the strongest, is the most perfect. Every other thing doesn't work. I've been reading the book of 1 Corinthians when we got to chapter 13. I think it's around verse 10 or verse 8. Bible says, love never fails. He says, it starts from verse 1 to say that you may be able to speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but if you don't have agape love, you are useless. You are speaking in tongues, but it's useless. You are speaking with angelic tongues, but it's useless. And you become like from verse 1, you become like some tingling cymbal and sounding blood. Let me get something to knock so that you hear. You know, let me bring you what it means. When you are speaking in tongues and preaching and having a lot of scriptures and knowledge and prophecy, Bible says that though you speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, you have become like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Today, I'm stopping preaching. This is my preaching.
Noise.
Write it down.
It's noise.
The message.
What are we writing?
The Bible says, if you don't have love and you speak God, this is how you sound. Noise. One time, a certain woman was going to fetch water. Old lady. And when she was going, there was a crusade, big time, and people were being healed. And then somebody said that, hey, your arthritis, many people have been healed of arthritis, come. The person pulled her to the place for the arthritis to be healed. When she got there, she said, ah, who is preaching? And then it was a landlord, not an evangelist. That landlord had been so wicked to this old lady, thrown her out many times, just when she delayed the payment by 2 weeks.
Wicked Lord.
Wicked landlord. So the lady said, I'm sorry, my arthritis is still coming with me. It's even more painful now than I did. And then the people say, you don't have faith. She said, no, not that I don't have faith, but the man preaching, his
wicked
wickedness,
Lord.
His wickedness is sounding so loud to me in my heart that I can't hear what he's preaching.
Mercy.
Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes in our homes, our wickedness is what is stopping our children, our spouse from becoming Christian. Let's demonstrate love at home. Let's demonstrate godly love. Somebody that cannot pay for something, let's help them. You see somebody whose child is struggling, let's step in. Let's call people and tell them, I'm praying for you. Let's tell people, I want to take care of your baby, not because you're charging anything. It's not money. Everything is not money. Mm. Everything is not money. Sometimes, give love. Just have the fulfillment that I did something to put a smile on somebody's face.
True.
And sometimes without words, Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, like I think it's verse 4. He said, or maybe it's from verse 1. He said that the women of old, you should actually, by their just their conversation or behavior without words, they were able to convert their spouses without
right.
words, by just their behavior. They were called the daughters of Sarah. Yes. From verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 1. Amen.
Amen.
Peter, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if they don't even obey the word, they also, without scriptures, without any preaching, without the word, can be won over by your behavior or the conversation of the wives. So behavior of love can actually cause people to be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, where is God? Where is God? Why is it that many people are not coming? Where is God? God is in the love that you transmit. It's the bond of perfectness. That means that when you have love, people gravitate towards you. Look, if the relationship that I have with my wife is just physical, as she's growing old, I mean, you look for a younger spouse.
What a shock.
It's true. If it's just based on brotherly love, brotherly, and this, it will finish. Because sometimes, you know, one of my cousins walked out of our house. Yeah. If it's just due to storage, when the child has grown and doesn't want any breast milk, he's gone. It's over.
Gone. That's it.
It's finished. But unconditional, you may grow. I may get angry. I mean, but it's a decision that is born of God.
Amen.
God never fails. It says when your father and your mother leave you, they will never forsake you. That is why real churches, when you go to, when somebody is admitted to hospital, sometimes the number one visitors are church members.
Mm-hmm. True.
Sometimes when you're having your wedding, the place will be crowded with church members more than even your friends who are old students association. Godly love. Sometimes the people that support you when you're down the most, the phone calls you get should be from Christian. That is ministration of God.
Amen.
Of God is the bond of perfectness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10. Verse 8 going down. Love never fails. Whether there be prophecy, it shall go away. Tongues shall go away. Knowledge shall go away. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. There be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Then keep going. Well, next verse. For we know in part and prophesy in part. Next verse. But when the perfect is come, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The perfect, many theologians say, is love. And Colossians 3:14 confirms it. It's the bond of love. When you get into a church because of prophecy, because of just tongues, listen, I cannot hold you long enough because of these things. Because at a point, prophecies will fail. Mm. At a point, my knowledge will dissipate. At a point, the tongues you get used to, you become familiar. No matter how big a prophet, the Bible says a prophet is without honor in his own house. Because prophets, they will just become familiar with it. But Jesus, it's been 2,000 years. Because of the love that he showed, here we are. We still love him. Bible says, he whom we have not seen yet, we love. Because of what love? 1 John 4:19, it says, we love him because he first loved us.
Man.
Gentlemen, let God be found in our love. Let God be found. Jesus Christ gave a parable. In fact, a story in Matthew 25 from verse 35. He said that, you know, when the Lord comes, he will separate us into goats and sheep. He put one on the right, one on the left. And then he will tell the people, I was hungry. Verse 35, Matthew 25. He says, he will tell the people, I was hungry, I was sick, I was naked. You see, now Jesus was, did you get it?
Yeah.
Verse 35, brother, for I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Have you done these things before? Have you done this in a stranger? You see, and you give the stranger something or you help the stranger. That is it. Watch what Jesus is saying. When you don't have any benefit for what you do, the only motive is love. You give people when they are hungry, give meat. And then the next verse, and they will ask, I was naked and you clothed me. Some of you, you have clothes. You haven't worn for 3 years. You say when you lose weight, you wear it. Meanwhile, for 3 years, you've been pumping up upwards, only upwards.
Mercy.
Only upwards.
It's true.
I almost said that you will never wear those clothes.
Plus the corona.
You away, and believe God that when you lose weight, God will also bless you. As the weight is going down, your pockets are going up, and God will bless you.
Amen. Amen. I receive it.
Receive it in Jesus'
name. I receive it.
Those of you who have a lot of weight, as your weight is going down, it will go into your pocket financially.
Amen.
Amen. Divine conversion.
Divine conversion. And then you can buy clothes. Give them away, people who are naked. And you clothe me. You see somebody who doesn't have a shoe, who doesn't have a Macarius. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the people, Jesus was speaking, and the people will ask, Lord, when was it that you were sick? When was it that you were naked? Keep going, brother. When was it that you were in prison? And then I shall tell them that in as much as you did it for the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. Many of us would like to give to Jesus, would like to worship Jesus, would like to serve him. But believe me, start. Jesus Christ once said, God said, John told some people, if you cannot love the brother that you see, how can you claim you love Jesus whom you don't see?
How?
So Jesus Christ told them, as you have done it for the least of these, you have done it for me. As you have done it for the least of these, the brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, let's begin to do God, do love, do God, and let the people flow. In the church, let's begin to show love. Let's call people genuinely, not because of what you will get. Sometimes give. Let the love show. That is how many of you have stayed here, by the grace of God. Do the same. That is how we've stuck to Jesus, by love. Let's do the same. Let International Sunday bring us together. And then he also described a group of people who, he said he was sick, they never visited him. And they would ask, oh, how? Jesus, we don't even know your size. How can you, you were naked and we didn't clothe you. How come? If I had known that it was you, Jesus, I would have done it. If you had known, really? As you do it for others, you are doing it for the Lord. When Jesus came here, did he know you? Did he know you before he died for you? Did he know anybody? He died for sinners who were blaspheming and even rejecting him. Those were the ones that he died for. Today, I just want to tell you, you know, in ending, a pastor once came to church, preached, he preached a lot. about love, the whole month, preached series on love. And then when he finished, he said, next month, we will do something else. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and tongues. The people say, hey, they want, and then gift of the Spirit, prophecy. Wow, they came. The whole church was full to the brim. The pastor was not coming. Then finally, the praise and worship had gone on for a long time. Then there came this old, rackety, smelly, clothes torn, dust in the air, carrying some, you know how madmen, crazy men, schizophrenics who are not in facilities, how they behave. The man was,
my goodness, stuck, raving man.
Walked straight on in the aisle. And as he was walking in the aisle, he would sit here and then people would push him. He would sit on the aisle, people would push him. He would sit on that aisle. And then the ushers came and escorted him out of the church. Out of the church. Then the man sat at the front of the church and asked for arms. People didn't give him. They walked straight into the church.
Oh.
When it was finally time, they made the phone calls. And then the phone call came through finally. And they heard the sound of the phone call. They said, oh, pastor is around. They did their GPS. Oh, pastor is in the church vicinity, so don't worry. Not knowing. So, and the man who was crazy just got up, walked straight to the pulpit, and then pulled off his clothes and his wig and everything. Mm. Lo and behold, that was a pastor.
Yeah.
Oh.
He told the people, you know, you guys, you've learned a lot about love, but you practice zero love.
Oh,
wow.
Mercy.
You don't qualify for me to teach you about the gift of the Spirit. And from now, we are going to practice love. So the second month, he talked about practical love. I pray that this word will not just end here.
Amen.
Practical love, but will minister to people. And our love for people will draw people. It's the bond of perfectness. 2,000 years has come and gone. But because of Jesus' demonstration of love, still, your marriages will work well when you love. Your relationships at work will work well when you love. You will have more friends at school when you love.
Amen.
Your church will grow when you are a lover. Genuine, I'm talking about, you're not lovers, you have sexual love with people. Your church will grow when you have perfect, the bond of perfectness. People will bind to you. People would want to relocate because of a job. But because of your love, this, we will not go. We will not go. This love is the perfect bond. Perfect bond. May God be the perfect bond in your marriage, in your ministry, in your relationships, even with your enemies. Amen. When they have finished insulting you, may the Lord minister to them. Do you remember what he did the last time?
How
good a man. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. May God give you the bond of perfectness. When you speak to people about Christ, may they want to come again. Is your fellowship small and deteriorating? Check yourself. Perhaps you are not loving yourself. Are people, your brothers and sisters, not talking to you anymore? They may not tell you you are wicked.
Oh.
You introduce that agape. Throw away the filial. Throw away, I mean, do whatever it is, but definitely don't forget the agape. And God will bless you and set you up for the anointing.
Amen.
Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, listen carefully. I'm going to pray for this love to come to your heart. Do not go away. We have a lot in store for you today.
Yes.
A lot in store for you. Do not go away. I've made this short for you. Now, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, we have a part two of this that is coming up. But before we do the part two, I want you to do something practical. Tell the Lord, I have felt like I am born again. I have felt like I have the Spirit of God because I read the Bible, because I come to church, because I even pay tithes, because I do all that. But I've seen that the bond of perfectness, I've seen that the identity of a real believer is love. I've seen that he that is born of the Lord, who knows God, is also a representation of your love. Today, pour your love inside of me. Help me to manifest the God kind of love everywhere I go. Put your hand on your chest
and pray and ask the Lord, come into my heart with this love. From today, I want to be able to identify with this all-important ingredient of Christianity, love. This love, the devil cannot pretend about it. He cannot give unconditional love. That's the only pure thing that only you can give. In fact, you are love. Father, fill the hearts. Now, if you are here and you feel like that prayer is for you, you feel like really God has to enter you and get you that new identity that will preserve you to heaven. Just put your hands up and wave to the Lord. If you feel that that prayer is for you, wave to the Lord. And let's all who wave to the Lord. Now, the real God factor is coming to your heart. Let's say this. Say, Almighty Father.
Almighty Father.
You are truly the God of love.
You are truly the God
of love. You are love.
You are love.
I know I've sinned against you.
I know I have sinned against you.
I have not really had you the way that I thought. From now, I confess my sins.
Please come
into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
Me with your love.
And fill me with your love.
And fill me with your Holy Spirit.
And fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Wash me by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Wash me by the blood of Jesus Christ.
I believe that Jesus Christ died for me.
Because I believe Jesus Christ died for me.
Fill me with your spirit and your love.
Fill me with your spirit and your love.
And write my name in the book of life.
And write my name in the book of life.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
Amen.
It's a good life.
We believe that the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.